Welcome to the Villains Lounge.
Welcome, welcome, everybody, to the Villains Lounge. I am your host, the Three Counts resident supervillain, the Dark Lord himself, the Dark Goat, Damien Fatale. And I have the Golden Three today. Three of us. Sitting up here at the top next to me is Twitch Graves. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
We got down below Christopher J. Idol, as he says, Tony Khan is my informant, and I can't confirm nor deny. Let's just put it like that. So, with that being said, I guess I'll go into the business first. You know, if you're watching us on X, like, subscribe to the page, 3count_pod, everywhere else that we're on is 3count pod, all one word. Also, check us out on the Infinite Plus Network. Subscribe. You can get exclusive content, which will be coming there soon. And then, of course, you can check this episode later on if you're not on X, on anywhere you hear a podcast or stream a podcast. I don't know. Did you say iHeartRadio at one point in time? I think we're on Spotify, Apple Pod, like pretty much any kind of where you get a podcast from, that's where we're at.
Is this on Spotify?
Yeah, we're on Spotify.
Oh, no shit.
We'll be on Spotify after this goes up and he uploads everything. Oh, okay. You know, that's Cliff, because, you know, he runs everything.
He's the guru.
Yeah, he is. You know, look for our merch. Look, if you want Villains Lounge merch, Super Villains merch, any of these guys, y'all got to request it. And then we might make it happen. We'll see what happens. Just buy our shit, like our shit, watch our shit. If you don't, I'm coming for you. Y'all know the drill. You know the drill. So let's get right into the news. God, it's like, news wasn't crazy. It's really exciting. We're a couple of weeks from fucking WrestleMania. So I guess I'll go into that.
Crazy.
WrestleMania week. Not even weekend. WrestleMania week starts in like a week and a half or some crazy stuff like that. Lots going on. Pat McAfee is going to have a show on there. They're honoring Bray. Bray's got a special coming out on the 1st. So y'all need to keep a lookout for that. Hall of Fame. They're doing the freaking Slammies. They got all kinds of stuff going on in Philly. So if y'all there, man, go check them out. Get those tickets. They're opening up more tickets, I heard.
Yeah.
WrestleMania. Like, it's sold out, and they're saying they're going to open up a certain amount of tickets each week. So, you know, keep checking for those so y'all can be part of history. I mean, the biggest WrestleMania, XL, number 40. This guy right here, down below, is going. Eating tags. We'll be also doing the live reaction.
Absolutely. Get to see The Rock blow out a quad live and in person.
Oh, yeah, wow. You just put that in the universe,
dude. Every time he's wrestled since he's left, he's blown something.
I'm not disagreeing, but
he's not going to do it. And how much you want to bet it's not going to happen in the tag match? It's going to happen in night two in the main event. You're going to come out there and like, give a rock bottom.
Are you going to both nights?
Yeah, we're doing both nights. Yeah, so keep an eye on those. I'm gonna try to get Twitch on one of those nights.
Oh man.
I gotta get him on one of those nights. I might be able to talk him into two. We'll also try to get Mr. Idol while he's there to jump in right quick when there's nothing going on, and like give his hot take on what's going on. So like, look, come check us out. Come watch us. Have some fun.
That's awesome. Hope you enjoy that.
Thank you.
It's gonna be fun. I was thinking about going, but I'll be in Texas.
I'll be in Florida.
So I'll be in Texas for a family reunion and seeing the clips.
I have my dad when they were down here in Tampa.
So, look, next WrestleMania I'm going, so we're good. They're going to be inviting me. But with that being said, that's that part of the news. We also have to talk about Miss Mercedes Moné breaking the fourth wall of payment. For women's wrestling, I'm hearing what, like close to $5 million a year?
Something
is what
like
I'm
that.
Hearing? Like a little under?
That's the rumor. But what's more accurate is that she is the highest paid woman in wrestling right now.
Now, what that is exactly, that's up for debate, but
I'm hearing somewhere like eight figures plus, possibly.
I've heard a couple different numbers. Nothing solid. Officially.
Yeah.
But it's a nice chunk of change. And
Yeah. And she's getting a little bit more freedom to, you know, do some other stuff. And that's why she ended up choosing ultimately AEW, which is good for her. I think she needed to do that. I don't think she should have went back to WWE so soon.
No,
with her being hurt and not being able to really explore what she could really do outside the company, I think this is the best thing for her, dude.
Yeah.
As much as I crap on Planned Parenthood, it's the best place for her. And they need her. Let's just give it a fact.
They do.
Also, in some women's news as well, it seems that Jay Cargo has picked a brand, and we will get into that with the SmackDown review and the Raw review and all of that of where exactly she's gone. But it looks like she's picked a place, so we'll talk about that a little bit more later. I just want to put it out there that we're going to be seeing some Jade on our screens. My wife's excited. Because she's never got a chance to really seen Jade work except for at the Rumble. And she just loves her. Like, she loves the attitude. She loves the, you know, just everything about her. And it's just a presence, you know what I mean? So that's pretty fucking dope that we can do that. And I think it was smart for them to wait. I think this is like the smartest thing they've done with somebody is wait.
The match.
Think about this. Think about this. 10 years ago. She probably would have been thrown to the sharks.
Yeah.
And she would have, it would have been sink or swim.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool that they knew what they had and they knew that they could sharpen that iron and get it ready to be tossed to the lions and be able to adapt. So that's right. Pretty dope. Anything else in the news this week? It's been a pretty chill, happy-go-lucky. Oh, Rock's got being able to say anything he wants on TV. Let's put that out there. Being the final boss and the on the board, he has got a little extra freedom than most.
Yeah. Remember,
Cody got the spit a little bit this week, so we'll talk about that in the Raw review as well. So I guess let's get into it. Let's get into the reviews. That's the news.
Let's do it.
We're going to get into Monday Night Raw from the 18th. I enjoyed the show. I thought it was good. The opening segment was Jimmy and Jay hyping up their match. Dude, Jimmy's promo. The crazy eyes. I believed them.
Jimmy definitely got crazy eyes.
Right, yeah. But I believed it though. Like, you know what I mean? Like he
he believed what he was saying.
Yeah. Like it was like, even I know this is a bunch of horse shit.
Yeah. I
believe you, homie.
Yeah, because he was like, you know, he was like, yeah, you left the bloodline, you know, you left the bloodline. You ruined all of this. And I was like, it was definitely Jimmy that kicked Roman first. That started the chicken,
right?
So I found that to be hilarious. Like, no, Jimmy, all this is kind of your fault, bro.
It was. You brought this on yourself, big homie.
He's but definitely promo. Kool-Aid.
Yeah, no, the promo was great. I'm going to have to give that 4. That's a 4 hands down for me. It made me more excited for their match. All right. I'm going to give this the match. The first match of the night is getting ready to get probably damn near a perfect score, if not a perfect score, because this match had no fucking right being as good as it was. And that is DIY versus the Creeds.
Oh, my God.
Dude, like even my wife was like sucked into this one. Dude, favorite spot. What was it, Julius? When he went into when he threw them both in the corner, did the belly to back suplex, then like rolled up, it was what like rolled up Tommaso for a pin, got back up, grabbed Gargano, and bridged him and pinned them both at the same time.
Yep.
Who does that?
The Creeds.
The Creeds.
Dude,
yeah.
The Creeds, dude. Why are they so good? And as my wife said, they look so plain as far as their gear is concerned. But that in-ring and that character work is amazing.
Yeah.
You don't need flashy gear if you
I know it makes them stand out even more. That's the crazier part.
Yeah.
So this match had me on the edge of my seat. I'm happy DIY is finally going to WrestleMania. They deserve it, but if the Creeds had a one, I wouldn't have been mad.
No. Yeah, shout out to DIY.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't realize it had been so fucking long.
Wait, I didn't know. I forgot they've
been long. Like I knew. But I didn't know because my concept of time is all fucked up. So they're like, 9 years they've been here. And I'm like, that's not right. And then I did the math and I'm like, oh my God, it's been 9 years.
Yeah. So DIY defeats the Creeds and like this. That match was unnecessary. All I'm saying, it was unnecessary to be that good. I'm giving it five.
Raw at that.
I'm giving it a five. Yeah. It's getting five for me.
I agree.
Hands down, best match of the night. I think that might be my match of the fucking week tomorrow. So,
I can't be mad at it.
I don't think Collision's gonna give me anything else. So then next we get Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell versus Katana Chance and Kaden Carter. Good solid match for these women. I am liking this slow heel burn for Candice. I don't know what it is, but it's
different. Is it a slow heel burn? I mean, she's like, it's a good thing your dead brother's not here to see you be a disappointment. I feel like that's full on heel.
All right, I'm going to give it the slow heel burn because of Indy. Indy's hesitant. That's why I'm calling it slow, because it seems like Indy's kind of trying to like reel her back, like, homegirl, chill.
Yeah.
But look, Hartwell and LeRae got the W. So I mean, something's working, and she attacked what was it, Chance? After like she got an injury, and she just like, dude, that was wrong. It was wrong. But you know,
it'd be like that sometimes.
Look, big shout outs to freaking Candice LeRae. Keep it up, sweetie. Keep it up. I'm gonna give that one a solid 2.5 because that was fun. So then what is he? What did we get? We got Cody's promo.
Yeah.
I believe so. This promo was it was spicy. Very, very spicy for Cody. You know, the Cody that we've been getting since he's returned has been the Cody that we were expecting, but this was something I didn't know I wanted. Cody calling Rock he called him a bitch. What else did he call him?
What did he say? He said it. What else did he call him? He said, called him a bitch. He said his mama ain't scared of him.
He did say his mom was really nice. He called him something else, but then my favorite line, which will get him in trouble with every person in Utah, is when he said that he suffers from LDS. Little Dick Syndrome. And, well, because I live in Latter-day Saints land.
I mean, look. They're interchangeable.
Well, okay, I shouldn't say this on air. and I shouldn't be mean to my home state now. But there's a lot of people that suffer from LDS here. Why every woman here is unhappy. I said it. So after that, Paul Heyman comes out and basically says that Roman will be alone when he shows up to SmackDown as long as you are. And, you know, they shook on it, and that's how that ended. Then we got Ricochet versus Dirty Dom. Dirty Dom was told that he needs to fix what JD didn't in the gauntlet match. And it looks like Ricochet picked up a win.
Daddy did.
Over Dirty Dom, which the funny part is I don't think it would have hurt him regardless. So Dirty Dom was good. He's always good.
Yeah.
And like even when Dirty Dom loses, he wins.
Yeah.
So let's just keep it a stack. I give this match a 3 because
it was solid.
Really, I love Ricochet. I know he's not doing as much as people think that he should be, but I think Ricochet's having fun. So just let him do his thing.
You know who's having more fun with that match? Pat McAfee.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Pat, dude, I'm loving Pat back. I ain't gonna lie to you. That whole thing at the beginning of the show when Jey Uso came out, that's great. Standing on the fucking chair. Crazy ass white boy.
I'm waiting for you to fall.
And like what you think Cole said. Don't fall.
I hope he falls at WrestleMania. That's the perfect place to fall.
Oh my God, yes it is.
That's the perfect place for him to fall. WrestleMania.
It is. So the next match we got the Awesome Truth versus Indus Sheer. And I'm sorry, on paper, this looks like a slaughter. Let's just call a stack to stack. Indus Sheer is a giant mass of men. But in the end, Awesome Truth pulled that W out, so they're going to WrestleMania. As they should. They need to be in this match because Judgment Day is in this match. It makes sense. But I don't know. Looking at it on paper, I wasn't feeling comfortable for my boys. But they pulled it out, and it was a good match. It was a really good match. I'm giving it 2.5. We got Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre promo, you know, hyping up their tag match. Of course, Drew, you know, just stop sticking your nose in the business. You know what I mean? The normal spiel. It's still, for me, unfortunately, I kind of feel like Seth being in the tag match almost undermines Drew, but in a good way. You know what I mean? It's like Seth is concentrated on this tag match, so then he's going to get the Drew, and Drew going to give him the business.
It definitely makes it look like Seth is sleeping on Drew.
Yeah. And it's kind of cool because it's like, this is going to be your downfall, my dude. Like, you better be taking this serious. The Drew's not something to, you know, scoff at.
No.
Then we get another. You know, go ahead.
One last thing before we move on. So, I agree. It's like Seth is sleeping on Drew. But also from a story perspective, doesn't he kind of have a right to? I mean, he has beat Drew twice.
Exactly.
So, it's not like he doesn't know how to do it.
Exactly. So, it makes sense.
So that's like a slept on part of the story.
Yeah.
He's like, I know I can beat you already. I've done it twice. Like I've done it like twice recently.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it was like a year or two ago. We're talking less than 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it makes perfect sense.
If I was Seth, I'd probably sleep on it too. Like, I know how to beat that guy. Let me focus on these two guys that I'm not quite sure how to bring down.
But. Exactly. So, no, it makes perfect sense. The story is a beautiful story, actually. I mean, I've heard people kind of crap on it, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
So the next, we get another undisputed WWE Tag Team Six-Pack Challenge ladder match. God damn, that's a mess.
Such a mouthful.
At WrestleMania. I didn't even get that part out. Shit. So we get the New Day versus Alpha Academy. And this is one of those where, again, match was really good, and I didn't care who won.
In a good way?
Yeah, like it was good in a good way, and I didn't care who won in a good way. Because, you know, Tozawa and Otis would have been a great addition to that ladder match, and very entertaining. And, of course, our boys, the New Day. We already knew that they would be entertaining. But New Day gets the W, as both teams deserve that. So, yeah. You know, congratulations to the New Day. We'll see them at WrestleMania. So, hey, let's do it. Let's do it. And I give that one a good solid 2.5. So it was fun. Then we get Becky Lynch versus Nia Jax in the Last Woman Standing match. And this was really good. Becky and Nia killed it. Very entertaining. Great main event. Last Woman Standing. What? Like Nia did the my whole spot without yelling it. So that was kind of funny, a good little throwback. But Becky had to do a lot to keep Nia down, which made perfect sense, which is playing into the story that Becky is doing all of this while the champ is just continue.
That manhandle slam was vicious through the table.
It was. Like I'm looking at a still photo right now of Becky doing the leg drop to the announcer's table, and Pat and like freaking Cord like backed up in the corner like. Yeah. So, I'm giving this a solid 4. All around, Raw was a 4.5 axe handle show. It was really good. It was kind of promo heavy, but in a good way. I enjoyed it. So now we're gonna move into your review, sir. The NXT of March 19th.
All right. NXT. Good. Yeah, it was a good show.
It was.
All right. We're gonna get through this as quickly as possible.
And also, this also is leading into Stand and Deliver, too. So,
yeah,
they got that going on. I wish I was doing a review for Stand and Deliver, but that is way too much for me to do a live reaction for Stand and Deliver than go into WrestleMania. I mean, if I'm feeling generous, I might. But I'll talk about Stand and Deliver after WrestleMania.
I was going to say, at that point, you might as well just be live the whole day.
Right?
Yeah. Just don't even end it. Just
right? Just like, all right, we're going to pull a 24-hour live.
Yeah. All right. So, first matchup on NXT, we had Roxanne Perez take on Tatum Paxley. As we know, Roxanne is the number one contender for the women's championship. Tatum Paxley, as a character, really growing on me.
She really is. Like, she really is.
She plays crazy very well.
She does. This heel turn for Roxanne?
I like it too. It's a lot of the heel turns that we've been seeing lately are very, very logical.
Right? It makes sense.
Like, you understand why these people have turned into bitter bitches. And I'm using bitches as a general term, male and female. Like, it makes sense. Like, it makes sense that Roxanne is pissed.
Yeah.
But she doesn't have to be a bitch about it. Same thing with Drew. We get why. It makes complete sense why Drew is pissed. He doesn't have to be a bitch about it. So, like, I like this new logical, these new logical heel turns that we're getting.
Yeah, they all make sense.
In years past, they just come out of nowhere with no real logic, and it might be cool, but at the end of the day, like, it doesn't really make sense. But I like the recent string of heel turns. Even Melo. Melo's makes sense.
Yeah.
It does. It does.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Roxanne Tatum, really good match. Next matchup, I think this was my favorite match of the night, involving what is becoming my favorite tag team.
This has been really, really good, too. This was good for no reason as well.
Yeah, Nathan Frazier and Axiom versus the No Quarter Catch crew, which was represented by Charlie Dempsey and Miles Bourne. No, not Miles Bourne. Is his name Miles Bourne? Did I get the right one? Yes, Miles Bourne.
Yeah, okay. You was right, Miles Bourne.
Okay. I was getting his name and Riley from Chase U mixed up.
Chase U mixed up.
Yeah, I got the Okay, yeah. Miles Bourne. Everyone in this match really talented.
Yeah, they are.
Really, really talented. And in particular, I'm really impressed with Miles Bourne because for those that don't know, he's deaf.
So oh, the is fact- he?
Really? Yeah, he's deaf. Yeah, he's deaf.
Oh shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that is dope. That is
so dope. The fact that he is a deaf professional wrestler and is good, I'm just like, every time I watch him, I'm like, how the fuck is he doing?
That's impressive. That's impressive. Yeah, no, it's definitely impressive.
And that guy, Nathan Frazier and Maxson, that tag team, their team name should just be Speed.
I know, they're crazy.
God.
Like, Axiom starting to grow on me now. I forgot who he was before he put on the mask.
A-Kid.
That's
and,
it.
And NXT. Yeah.
So, well, you're sounding kind of weird now.
Yeah, your audio.
Is it jacked up? Or is that better?
No.
A little bit. Did you disconnect from your earbuds?
Let me see.
It's kind of what it sounds like.
Technical difficulties.
All right, so I'll continue what he was doing. That match was really, really good. Axiom and Frazier ends up with the W, and they will be moving on to the tag team match that's going to be happening at Stand and Deliver for the tag team champions with the Wolf Dogs. Then we got Sol Ruka versus Brynley Reese. And these are two like fairly new girls. Women, sorry.
I haven't seen both of them.
Yeah, they've been on a couple of times. It was a really good, like solid match, actually. These women are very athletic, very, very talented. There
do you hear me now?
Yeah, that's there better. We're talking about the Sol Ruka and Brynley Reese. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. These girls are fairly like new to the show for the most part, right? They've been on a few episodes.
Sol Ruka, she was around for a little bit, but like when she was starting to really get momentum, that's when it got injured. But Brynley Reese, she's really new. Like, super new.
All right, got you. So, yeah, because I was saying, I remember hearing Sol Ruka's name like a little while ago, and I remember she got hurt. But no, both of these women looked great. They had a good, solid match.
Yeah.
From what I saw.
Sol Ruka, her finisher, it's crazy. That cutter.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah. And then, Davenport, Blair Davenport, she's starting to grow on me too. I like her. She came out and laid out Sol Ruka.
Big time hater.
Yep. Something that happened at Roadblock. I get it. And that was a good solid match. All right, you can continue because I like this match too. This could be a match of the week for me too.
Next up, we had Drew Gulak taking on Riley Osborne, Heritage Cup match. Drew Gulak is very underrated.
Yeah, he's always has, in my opinion.
That man,
I always like Gulak, dude. That man is
really talented, and Riley too. Riley being on the newer side, he's really taken the in-ring aspect really well. Definitely showed up, showed out. But ultimately, Drew Gulak got the win.
Yes, he did. Retain the Heritage Cup. I'm liking the way that they're defending the Heritage Cup. No quarter catch rules.
Yeah.
And everything that they do. So it's pretty dope. You don't know which four you're going to face. So it's kind of dope. So, yeah, I think they continue to do that one.
Yeah, no doubt. Next up, we had Hank and Tank versus Gallows and Anderson.
This was a hard-hitting fucking match. And, dude. Hank and Tank came out wilding.
They did. They did. They had something to prove.
And hard. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, they had something to prove, but the Good Brothers waxed that ass. They did.
Nah, it was like it was one of those like, oh, they really want to give hands. Okay, bet. We were gonna try to be nice at first, but all
right,
bet.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Right?
Yeah. Basically.
Yep. They hit Tank with the magic killer, it looks like. Got that W.
Yes, they did. Magic killer, 1, 2, 3, it's all she wrote.
Yep.
And then that brings us to our unfortunate main event, where we had to witness Trick Williams take on Noam Dar.
That's my boy.
Noam Dar is...
Fox. Sorry. That, like, ever since that, dude.
That's when he won me over. Yeah. I'm not even gonna lie. Ever since then, been on the Noam Dar train.
Yep.
But I begrudgingly say him and Trick had a really good match.
They did. It was really good.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna put this out here right now from the picture that I'm looking at with Trick doing that I guess that leg lariat from the back, the way that Noam Dar's hair is, and then with like the red and the white in it, kind of looks like Tekashi 6ix9ine from the back.
Oh no. Why?
Sorry, Dar. Sorry, buddy. You're not. That's from
rude.
The back.
That is so ignorant.
I apologize. So
that's really messed up. You don't do Noam Dar like that, man.
I said I'm sorry. Look, Trick Williams looks like my cousin Tay-Tay from the block, so I mean, that's what he acts like.
Trick Williams got the win.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
and then my favorite part of the show, Mello shows up at the inn with his crew, Mello was disguised as one of his security guards and beat the dog piss out of
Trick. That was actually really cool.
That was cool. That was cool how they did that.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming. Like, the guy came out looking like Mello.
Yeah.
In the entrance, and then Mello's like in the corner. It was great. It was amazing. So NXT, definitely that one was 4 for me. The whole
show. Definitely a 4 show. All the stories progressed positively as we head into Stand and Deliver.
All right, time to go into a show that I didn't watch. Hold on, is this the same show? What is this from? Oh, this says March 6th. Oh,
yeah, bro, you're a week behind.
Oh, God. What am I looking for?
Oh, my God.
Look, I don't watch Dynamite like that.
March 20th.
Okay, so we're looking for... Yeah, we're doing this live on the air, folks.
It's always something.
Look, when it comes to Planned Parenthood, I'm not planned for the
You're supposed to be the boss. You're supposed to have this down.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Really? So March 20th, right?
Yeah.
I thought I had the right one. My bad. Nope. Shit. God.
I kind of wish he didn't notice.
Right.
And he just kept reading the results. He's like, man, why are they repeating all these matches and get like halfway through the show before he realizes it's the old...
He'd have been so livid that he thought they were repeating the matches.
Because it started off with Swerve and them versus the Kingdom. And I'm like, I was like, why the fuck did they repeat this? Shit. All right. So it looks like, this is what they kicked off Dynamite with?
Oh, man.
Well, it would have been no reason for me to watch Dynamite after the first opening match. We got Kingston versus... Try to get this name right. Kazuchika Okada.
Kazuchika Okada.
For the Continental something championship. It's one of the 20th championships that they've got. I think it's championship number 19 or something. I don't know. One of the three titles that Kingston has is running around with. And can y'all guess who won? Take a guess.
Okada beat him.
Yes, he is. Yeah, Okada is a champion after his third match.
Yeah. He beat him with that.
Yeah. Beat him with the Rainmaker. And of course, Meltzer gave it a B.
Was it like 6 stars?
I guess a B is kind of like 6 stars, maybe 8.
Okay.
He gave it a B plus. It might be 9.5.
Yeah, that plus up a lot.
Yeah. The next match that we got. Poor fucking Hook. God damn it. Jericho and Hook. Hook defeats Jericho. Thank God.
I don't even know if it's really a thank God, because Jericho looked so bad that it just looked like Hook was beating up some old decrepit man.
I feel like they got
Jericho from a retirement home, dude. Like,
did you see his picture? His graphic picture looks photoshopped. It looks like
it probably is
from like 20 years ago with his current head. Does not match at all. Bad photoshopping.
You can't make the rock star look bad.
Yeah.
He makes himself look bad. Let's go on. So we got Toni Storm and Mariah May versus Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa. Pretty sure it was a pretty solid match. Purrazzo and Rosa gets the victory. Then we got, where the fuck has this guy been? Shit! The Butcher versus Swerve Strickland.
Okay. He still works there?
Yeah, that's what this said.
Well, good for him.
In a few minutes, as it says here, on the Butcher, and made him tap. Okay. Then I guess we got, which probably should have been the main event. Oh, yeah, it totally should have been the main event. I just scrolled down a couple of times, too. We got Christian Cage versus Adam Copeland for the something with a T title.
The TNT.
That's it. And I was going to call it the TBS.
That's the women's title.
Again, as I said, it doesn't matter, does it? Anyway.
That was a solid match.
That was a solid match, though. I mean, I didn't expect anything different, if I'm going to be honest. I'm not sad that I missed it or not. Man, go back and watch it. I'd say go back and watch it because it seemed like it was really solid. I got to see some of the clips. But Copeland comes out with the victory, winning a title in another company that he probably hasn't done in ever, maybe. Maybe beginning of his career. Oh, what the fuck did he do in the beginning?
Not since he was on the Indies.
Yeah. So
I mean, unless if you want to be really, really, really technical, when he won the WCW United States Championship during the Invasion storyline.
True. You could.
Like I said, that's being really technical.
Really? That happened?
Yep, that
happened. They let Cassidy and Beretta beat Powerhouse Hobbs and Kyle Fletcher.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
What an interesting decision.
with Cassidy pinning Fletcher. Ring of Honor TV champion. Back my life.
At least the small guy got pinned?
I guess.
Or smaller? Because I guess he's still bigger than Orange Cassidy.
I guess. We got a Shibata squash match, and then Takeshita.
That finish killed Corey.
I see that. And then we got Takeshita versus Rocky Romero.
Oh, okay.
Shibata won his match. Good. And Takeshita beat Romero.
Okay. Then we got
Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale versus Sky Blue and Julia Hart. And it looks like Hart and Blue defeated Willow and Statlander.
What?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Nuh-uh.
Yes.
Wow.
It okay. You also have to remember Dynamite and Rampage was back to back, so I'm reading double results, by the way.
Right, so right. Because they switched to Rampage during the finish of Adam Copeland versus Christian.
Yeah, so guys, this is also not just the Dynamite review, this is also the Rampage review as well. They had them back to back.
Oh, that's
3 hours of Planned Parenthood.
That's
live.
Weird.
Oh, yeah, we thought because of what I told you about the results of the last one, that just completely like fucked your life up and you left.
No, for some weird reason my internet dropped.
Probably why.
You were so appalled. Your internet was so appalled by what Damien read.
You know what? It is a great possibility.
Like the last one. Guess who? So Statlander and Nightingale lost against Blue and Hart in a street fight.
Why? What?
No clue. I think Mercedes came out to help, I believe. And then had a little...
Wait. I'm sorry. I'm still stuck on this match. So, Willow and Statlander lost.
Uh-huh.
Didn't Willow beat Riho last week?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, you know, Riho's like their Brock Lesnar.
Well, yeah, because, well...
The way that they treat her. So yeah, she beat Brock Lesnar last week.
Uh-huh.
And then this week, she loses to... Right. And I like Sky Blue and Julia Hart. But I'm like, you beat Riho last week, and now you lose... Okay. All right. Okay. So I guess that means next week she's going to get some title match of some kind?
I guess it was a very rushed. It was a very rushed match, from what it sounds like.
Okay.
Lots of tables, chairs, metal spikes. They got to the 5 minute mark and started like really picking it up because the show was almost over. So I'm taking a guess. Copeland and Cage took too long.
Well, then you should have ended the show with them.
You probably should have. But instead, you gave us. Best friends versus like the Caliban.
It started in Dynamite and ended in Rampage, so you know it ran long,
right? So I guess that's what that was. So I guess I'm gonna move on to some good wrestling.
Time management, people.
We're gonna go to TNA Impact, March 21st.
Hey,
it looks like we got Leon Slater versus Chris Bay versus Allen Angels versus Jason Hotch, Kevin Knight, and Jake something. God damn!
Holy shit!
Okay.
It was called the Rebellion Refidium.
Okay.
And Jake something got the W.
Good for him.
It looks like Diener came out and did some talking. That's always fun. Nice. Then we got the Grizzle Young Vets versus the Time Splitters. We know that was phenomenal.
Of course.
Because, you know, both teams are great. Time Splitters were able to get the W. Oh, God. Every time this man comes on, dude, it's just, it's great. I don't care what anybody says. So we get the Digital Media Championship match, Crazy Steve versus PCO.
Oh, boy, I know that match was crazy.
It looks like it was pretty nuts, and it looks like Crazy Steve had to, like, kind of cheat
okay.
to win and get the W to retain. Like, he, like, raked him in the eyes and stole a pinfall and threw him into the ring and stole a pinfall real quick.
I love it.
Because he was probably like, I just don't want to get my ass beat anymore.
I love it.
Then we had Ash by Elegance, and I do not want to fuck this lady's name up. Last name Sparks, it looks like.
Okay.
Silesia? Sparks? Does that sound about right?
Okay.
S-E-L-E-Z-I-Y-A. A lot of fucking vowels in there.
Woo!
Silesia Sparks.
Yeah. Right? And then the Sparks okay. is S P A R X.
Yeah,
that'd be let's just go. Let's go with that.
All right, Ash by Elegance got the victory. And it looks like Ash was getting ready to beat up Sparks, and Brookside came down for the sob. Mr. Nemeth got to talk his shit. It looks like there was some other stuff. Josh Alexander talking about, you know, wrestling, and Rich Swann and AJ doing their thing. Then we get a knockout world championship match. My homegirl, Jordynne Grace, love her to death, the knockouts women's champion. And Tasha Steelz, which I'm happy she's back. She's actually in, like, help the women's division since our return. I like the character work from her, but of course Grace gets the W and retains, as she should. And I believe that was the main event, actually. So they gave the women the main event for Impact. So congratulations, ladies. Good job. So now we're gonna go on to the last review of the day, and it will be the SmackDown review for March 22nd. And again, another fucking show that was fucking better than it needed to be.
For absolutely no reason.
Right? So, all right, jump right into it, Sa. The floor is yours.
So starting this show off with the first match of the evening, we get good old Rey Mysterio in his first match back in, man, how long was he out?
It's like
8 months since the fall.
Yeah,
I want to say like early fall.
His first match back, he comes back and faces Santos Escobar, 1-on-1. You could tell that Ray is very off. He flipped on a lot of spots where he normally wouldn't. You know, very solid match all the way around. Good 1-on-1 wrestling at the end, though. Dominic Mysterio interfering, causing Santos Escobar to pick up the win over good old Rey Mysterio.
And don't forget, both sides were banned from ringside, too.
Yeah. Just nobody was at ringside, so leave it to good old Dominic to get involved and just screw shit up like always.
Hey, that's what happens when you're a deadbeat dad, dude.
We ain't touching that.
What? It's not my fault that Ray's a deadbeat dad. Look, just saying. I got to agree with Dom.
Somebody drinking the Kool-Aid, it seems.
All around,
though, I give this a solid 2 axe handles. It wasn't a good match. It wasn't a bad match. It was a solid, you know, it's solid wrestling. So,
looking back on it, right, I watched it twice.
Okay.
I actually feel like those mistakes were done on purpose.
You think?
For storyline purpose, yes.
I mean, if so, that's awesome. If not, then, you know.
But I'm it still makes
it ring rust it because
it played into it, though. Think about it.
Well, how did they talk about it on commentary? Like when the spots happened.
Same thing. Like he was having missteps because he's been out Yeah.
Okay. They
brought, Michael Cole brought up it being ring rust, but
yeah,
he only brought like, it
it's
up
not
like
the normal Mysterio twice. That we're normally accustomed to seeing because he's been out on injury with the leg, the knee injury, and you know what I mean. And Santos was working the leg, and he was still doing the, but it was like as the match progressed though, the mistakes became
more
less
and more
and less. No, it actually became less. See, in the very beginning, like the mistakes.
More, he messed up on the 619. He messed up on that springboard from the second rope. Like,
but that was more in the beginning. The, I'm talking about the 619 at the end. Yes, he did mess up. But I'm talking about like the mistakes were more prominent in the beginning of the match.
Okay. Yeah.
And then as the match got on, they were becoming less and less, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
So like, I felt like that was playing into the storyline that this man's got ring rust.
I mean,
coming off of a knee injury, it makes sense if he's a few steps off. But he, it was like as he was progressing in the match, it was getting like the mistakes were, like I said, were becoming less and less and less and less.
I agree.
And with Dominic coming out, and then with Dominic coming out, it was like, and you weren't paying attention to your surroundings, so it's like an even double whammy that, like, shit, yo, you might be losing your step,
right.
I mean,
you know what I mean, I guess the only, I guess the real way to know for sure is what happens next.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like if next week, like you said, if they're talking about, Rey Mysterio might have like me losing a step, losing his touch, then I would lean more to, okay, last week was intentional.
Yeah.
But if they kind of ignore it. Or it's not a major part of the story, then it's like, okay, it probably was just ring rust. He was just
just real ring rust.
Which it happens. I mean,
it does.
I mean, see, he's 50 and he was out with an injury for 8 months. So
easily, yeah. It would happen to any of us. So
yeah, I think Rey Mysterio, he deserves grace.
Yeah, he does.
Oh yeah, he's definitely earned to have a grace period. So
yeah.
After that, though, you know, Escobar getting the win, of course. Moving on from there, we get Bayley and Naomi backstage.
That was fun.
That's always fun. Belair, of course, interrupting, saying that you know Bayley's getting what she deserves. I agree with Belair on this, man.
Right. She's not wrong.
No, she's not. She's not. But for me, I get Naomi's point too, because she wasn't here. Like, she wasn't there. Like, for the 2 years that Damage Control was fucking.
Yeah.
She wasn't. And that is a valid argument, but.
You also got to remember Naomi before she left, her and Bayley were girls.
Yeah, no, I don't. So
it makes sense that when she comes back and sees her homegirl in trouble, yo, I got you.
Yeah, no.
Let's try to fix this.
I don't disagree with Naomi on this, but I also don't disagree with Bianca. So
exactly.
Like,
they broke out valid points.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't disagree with Bayley either. It's like, Bayley knows what she did.
Oh, yeah.
She knows everything is happening for a reason.
She accepts responsibility for it.
Yeah. So that's what makes it kind of all cool between the three dynamics of this. Yeah. It just makes it so freaking awesome. I am enjoying it.
Like you said, I enjoyed this too. This is really good storytelling. Personally, I think Bianca Belair is going to get involved in the WrestleMania match. Helping Bayley, but that's a later story. After that, of course, we get Austin Theory and Grayson Waller versus the OC in a WrestleMania 40 ladder match qualifier. This was a solid match, man. From beginning to end. And I know he doesn't get a lot of credit, but Carl Anderson is just so smooth in there. That it's just so fun to watch. Like, dude, I love the OC as a tag team. I would really like to see Carl Anderson do some singles shit, though.
I've seen him. He's had a few singles matches.
Yeah, I know he has.
They've all been great.
Yeah, I would like to see more of it.
I would too. Like Carl
the Anderson. OC, the OC on the main roster feels like jobbers to me.
In the NXT, they're NXT gods. Yeah, they're gods like in NXT.
Such a dominant tag team.
Yeah.
Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, of course, getting the win via a dirty pin. Austin Theory getting his feet up on the ropes and, you know, Grayson Waller holding his feet down. I can't be mad at that. That was solid logic. I'd have done it too.
Yeah. Right.
This was a solid match. Like I said from the beginning, I give it a solid 3 axe handles. Moving on from there, though, we get into Naomi versus Io Sky. Of course, Naomi comes out, does her awesome ass entrance. Damage Control comes out, and no Io Sky. And then, of course, we get cameras backstage, and Io Sky is doing heel shit and stomping Bayley out for no goddamn reason other than fuck you.
Yes.
That's what it looked like.
It was
like.
Beautiful.
It was it like was she was getting ready to go out. Amazing. And she saw Bayley pass. It was like, you know what? I got a few seconds.
I got beef with you. Give me a second.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is absolutely beautiful. I love seeing heel shit like this. This was a solid match as well. Like, of course, you know, the numbers game eventually catching up on Naomi, Io Sky going over. Man, this was awesome. Out comes Bianca Belair to try and get the save, and you know, Bianca Belair gets stomped out the same way Naomi got stomped out last week. This is where I really think we're going to see Bianca Belair get involved with the title match at WrestleMania.
You know what I'm saying?
Huh?
You want me to tell you what I'm saying?
What are you seeing?
So because Naomi kind of sacrificed herself for Bianca, I think we're going to also get the Kabuki Warriors versus Naomi and Bianca for the tag titles.
I could see that too.
So now, all right, now Damien, on yours, I don't think they're going to do that either. I think we're going to get a 6-woman tag. It's going to be Dakota and the Kabukis versus Naomi, Bianca, and Jade.
Oh.
Now, okay, so we have to announce that because I have a fucking idea and it's going to be fucking epic.
Okay.
If we want to talk about that right now, we can.
Okay, so we'll talk about that right now. Damien brought up at the beginning of the show that Jade has picked a show. That show is, in fact, SmackDown. Take it away, Damien. What do you see?
Woohoo! The greatest all black woman faction ever. Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jade fucking Cargill just in a fucking stable. I'd love to see like all three of those women face each other in singles matches. Let's just get that out of the way.
I want to see Jade and Belair go at it before we get that stable. Before anything,
I want to see that at WrestleMania. I want to see Bianca versus...
WrestleMania or SummerSlam. Big-ass event.
Nope. Belair does not have a match. That's why I said I would love to see Jade and Belair at WrestleMania just for friendly competition.
I'm not going to be mad at that.
And then have them join together as a stable?
Yeah.
Dude, that's unfair. I told my wife about it. She was like, you just told me something I didn't know I wanted.
I want it.
I want it all. Give it to me.
Run it back as many times as possible. I will not get bored.
Nope.
Yeah.
Those three women will be entertaining as fuck.
So after that, this could have been a WWE online social media exclusive, and they could have left it at that, and I'd have totally been happy with it. I like LA Knight. Let's get that out of the way right here and now. I like LA Knight. But can somebody other than me please acknowledge the fact that this AJ Styles looks like he ate the original AJ Styles. This AJ is so fucking swole. It is intimidating as fuck.
Yeah.
This was cool. Like, this... Not really.
They gotta do it every 30 years, dude. At least this once. Sucked.
We've seen this before with Austin and Brian Pillman. We have seen this before with Randy Orton and Triple H. And now we see it with LA Knight and AJ Styles.
We just saw it with Swerve and what's the name? Hangman.
Swerve didn't get arrested, though. You can't have a black man. Yeah, so that
doesn't really count. Hell, we just saw it with AJ and Samoa Joe.
We did see that with you're right.
We need to keep invading people's houses. Like,
okay. All right, I'm going to give this the reason why. See, this is funny. So me and E were talking about this, right? And when we saw it, the first thing in my mind was like, wow, LA Knight really is from Maryland.
He is.
Any one of the three of us have beef with somebody, we're showing up to their crib.
Nothing screams I'm from Hagerstown, Maryland more than showing up to somebody's house.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
This is what we do. I fully wholeheartedly accept that. But do we really got to keep invading people's houses?
I don't know. It's always entertaining, though.
It is entertaining. It's like soap opera entertaining.
Pillman pulled out a gun. Triple H threw Randy through a window. Like, it's just...
Samoa Joe was going to make Wendy call him daddy. Like,
right. Oh, hold on. We forgot that Dom and Rhea did it twice.
I mean, yes.
But they were network exclusives more so.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, this could have been a network exclusive, and I'd have been totally okay with that. God damn it. God damn it. Of course, after that, we get Tiffany Stratton walking by Naomi, who is in the head first in the trash can after getting the work from Io Sky. Tiffany Stratton walking by saying that that's a good look for her. I just want to point out that Ludwig Kaiser is a very lucky man. Like,
also going to say that Tiffany's a lucky woman. Because Kaiser is not a bad-looking man either. They are going to make the perfect fucking children. Did you see the bone structure in this man's face? Why is he wrestling? Why is he wrestling? He should be modeling for, like, Versace or something.
He could. That's the fight. He certainly could.
That is a beautiful man. They are a beautiful couple. I want to take them both home. I said it.
Okay. That happened.
Look, you can't have one without the other.
This escalated quickly.
Yeah, it's like pancakes and syrup, buddy.
I don't like syrup.
Bacon and eggs.
Okay, I'll give you that. Of course, after that, we get KO backstage with Nick Aldis. Fishing, as always. I love it. Of course, Pretty Deadly cuts in. You know, I love Pretty Deadly.
They are hilarious. Before
that, this team has been brought up just to be a punching bag.
And I love it.
They do it so well.
And it doesn't hurt them either. That's the great thing. It makes them better.
It really does.
And they're actually physically in ring a great tag team, too. They're not slouches in the ring. That's the thing.
That's a fair statement. I agree with that. Of course, this ends up with, you know, KO saying that, you know, I'll see you next week with me and my partner. Them laughing and, you know, Randy Orton appearing like a fucking genie out of nowhere.
That was hilarious. Their reaction.
Their reaction.
Their reaction was.
I had to rewind it.
Greatest.
It was great. I had to rewind it because I almost pissed myself. It was like the reaction was beautiful.
Yeah, they reacted like anybody would.
Yeah. The
big dude just pops up behind you. He's like, Jesus Christ, where did you come from?
This is all fair statements. This is why I love Pretty Deadly. Their promos, their in-ring ability, they are great all around. I just feel like they've been brought up to be punching bags, and they do it so well.
Oh, no, they're going to get that opportunity where they're going to steal something big. Okay. And we're going to, and then they're going to hold, like, they're going to steal the tag titles sometime down the line.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They're going to hold on to
Situations like this is why I can't wait for them to split the tag titles again.
Yeah.
There's so many talented teams, and it's like, with one set of titles, it's like, you can't get everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fair
a shot. Shape. Like, to they got to
separate them because the tag team division is blowing up right now. All over wrestling. Let's put that out there.
Yeah.
All over wrestling, tag team wrestling is finally getting its real fucking due, and it's great.
It's about fucking time.
It is.
Of course, KO doing the one thing that KO does lately that I absolutely love seeing and knocking two people out with one punch. And then acting like a little kid afterwards.
I did it!
Screaming to Randy Orton that he did it again. I love this.
Dude, it was great because it was one of those ones like I was expecting him to do it like on camera, like right there before they like walked off. But then the fact that he came back and then did it and then was like, I did it!
I did it! I did it again! Randy, I did it! I love it. KO is a little kid at heart, and I absolutely love seeing it.
And it's because he's having fun. It's
exactly he's
finally having fun and not taking it so serious. And I think it's the best thing for him.
This brings us to a match that honestly I really expected it to be a squash match. And I'm so glad it wasn't. This brings us to the Street Profits and the Authors of Pain. Like I said, I thought this was honestly just going to either be a disqualification and they have a special guest spot for somebody else in the six team ladder match at
WrestleMania. Yeah, like a double like count out. Like that's what I was expecting. Something like some kind of kibosh where maybe neither team was gonna win.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But dude,
This wasn't good, but this wasn't bad.
I thought it was pretty good because of the way they played it.
Towards the end, it started to win me over. But the way it started, it was just, it threw out the DQ vibes to me. And
gotcha. I guess, I could see that.
Dawkins' comeback in this match was awesome, in my opinion. He went off, and it looked so fluent and beautiful. And that's honestly what won me over with this match. The Street Profits picking up the win. This shocked me because if it wasn't going to be a DQ, I'd have picked the Authors of Pain.
Right, hands down. That's what I thought. I was like, oh, Authors of Pain is going to the next round. Oh, shit, they left. Oh.
Yeah.
Exactly. I like the heel Street Profits.
I do too.
I like this version of the Street Profits that we're getting. I liked them before, but it started to get a little stale for me. But this is definitely, in my opinion, like this brought me back to being a Street Profits fan.
No, I'm enjoying the Profits.
I agree. The Profits, they were like real. They've always been like real fun loving. But I think you wanted them to be able to flip that switch and go into a more serious mode.
And they have now.
And
teaming up with Bobby has probably been the best thing for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, of course, brings us to the moment that we have all been waiting to see. If Roman keeps his promise and comes out alone, you know, Roman comes out first, comes out with Paul Heyman, who we all know is no real threat. Roman even makes it known that he's no real threat. Didn't waste any time, said that, you know, we were here to see Cody, so let's bring out Cody. This was surprising that the Bloodline didn't appear sooner than they did. Cody comes out, Roman gives him a history lesson on how trustworthy Seth Rollins is. We have all seen how quick Seth will turn on somebody. And Cody shoots right back with, you know, yeah, Seth may not be all that trustworthy, but how trustworthy is The Rock? You know,
both valid points.
Threw people over.
Both valid points.
Cody also shooting back with, you know, who's the one really in charge? Is it you or is it the final boss? That line looked like it got under Roman's skin a little.
Like he's been thinking about it.
Yeah, and we've seen it with his facial expressions when he comes out and The Rock comes out. And
I love Roman's facial expressions, dude.
Yeah, you can tell that, like, he yeah, you're family, but
yeah,
do I really trust you?
Right.
Cody, or Roman, excuse me, shooting back with one of the greatest parts of this promo, saying that he, you know, Cody is not bad, but Cody will always be the best number two because Roman will be number one forever. That line right there was very well delivered. This all around was a solid promo. Of course, Roman refusing to shake Cody's hand when Cody goes to extend it. Roman hopping out of the ring, and then we all see the snap of the fingers. The music plays, and Solo Sikoa coming out of the crowd. Jimmy Uso coming out of the crowd. Roman thinking that he's got Cody trapped, and lo and behold, out comes Seth from the crowd, and out comes Jay from the crowd. So Cody was just as prepared as Roman was. So
right, it was a cool stare down, a great visual to SmackDown.
This had very big fight energy.
Right? Exactly.
This so, had...
It was pretty dope, I thought.
Yeah, this was dope to see, man. The promo felt a little slow at the beginning, but it definitely picked up. It was solid all around, all in all, SmackDown is an all I give it a 3 out of 10 rating.
I'm going to give it
4.
And that's just because it's a little bit fresher in my mind than I finished it this morning.
Yeah.
So, it's a little fresher in my mind. The show was solid all the way around. It built up. It built up.
I probably have to go with Corey's rating.
The 3.5. Because it
wasn't bad. Pretty solid. Things moved along, but nothing...
Like
if you missed it, it's one of those shows where if you missed it, you didn't miss anything too important.
And you could watch like recaps and be okay.
Yeah.
Like Raw, this was very like promo and backstage
heavy.
A lot of it. But it's all you got to think. It's WrestleMania. WrestleMania is what, less than 2.5 weeks away?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to keep everybody as healthy as possible for the biggest WrestleMania that we have. I'm not mad at it. I give it a solid 3.
So, also, this is what, the 9th show in a row that they have sold out?
Yes.
Between Raw and SmackDown. I correct. Yeah. Right. That sounds about right?
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
8 or 9, somewhere in that ballpark.
That's pretty impressive that they're selling out their shows.
Yeah.
It seems like Dynamite, I mean, AEW's also picking up a little bit. So that's good. Wrestling all around is starting to pick up a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, both companies are doing their thing. I shit on Planned Parenthood. Don't get me wrong. But guess what? I'm happy they're in business and they need to stay. So, Tony, don't snort it up. Yeah, don't snort it up your nose, please, Tony. Just don't snort it up your nose. Don't snort the company up your nose and just keep on doing you.
I don't know, bro. That's a big ask for Tony Khan.
That is.
Before I forget, we also have announced for SmackDown next week, of course, Kevin Owens and Randy Orton versus Pretty Deadly. You'll also see Bianca Belair versus Dakota Kai. We get the Street Profits and Austin Theory versus Waller for the WrestleMania 40 ladder match. Yeah. And then we also get New Catch Republic and LWO.
That's going to be fun, too.
That's going to be a very fun match, and I'm looking forward to that.
So, lots of good stuff to look forward to next Friday. Again, sorry, people. I was sick for the week. Could not do anything. I sounded like shit. My breathing was off. I mean, I'm still sounding somewhat like shit, but I'm feeling a lot better. So we're going to still try to continue the schedule. Y'all tell me what y'all think. If y'all like this Saturday show with the three of us, I'll hold off on the NXT, and then I'll do everything else, and then we'll just do NXT and SmackDown on Saturday. So if y'all like that, just let us know. We got you. The Dream Team got you. So thank you for watching. You made it to the end. I'm not going to do all that other spiel, but you made it to the end, and we really appreciate it. So like and follow us on X, IG, Facebook, X is 3count_pod, and everything else is 3countpod, one word. Of course, the Infinite 8, or Infinite Plus Network. I keep saying that. Infinite Plus. Sorry, it's going to kill me. Infinite Plus Network. And check us out on there. You know, like I said, YouTube. Anywhere you can get your podcast, The Villains Lounge is on there. Now Enter the Ring, you know, Chaz and Friends. Check those out. Chaz and Friends tomorrow. Check us out. We'll be on there debating. Now Enter the Ring had a few episodes this week. Check them out. Check out some of the old ones. Just watch our shit, yeah. Just watch our shit.
Watch it.
Like.
Watch our shit.
Tell a friend. Tell a girlfriend. Tell your side piece. I don't care.
I wasn't gonna go that far.
Right, look. They're watching The Villains Lounge. They most likely got a side piece. Let's keep it.
Oh, wow, bro. Okay.
It's called The Villains Lounge, bro. That's what we
do. It's called stereotyping.
It Terrible. Is. That's what we do. We're biased and stereotypical.
Now, hold on. Now, what happens if that statement just, like, decreased all our viewers? Because they're I don't want people thinking I got a side piece. I can't watch this.
They just called me out.
Look, all I'm saying is then just let your side piece watch for you and give you the updates. Or watch it with your side piece when you're not with your real piece. That's all you do.
Okay.
Look, tell your main about us too. Hell, you can double dip. The main. I don't care. Just watch. Listen.
Your advice will get people in trouble.
Hey, that's what I do. I mean, look, they don't call me the resident supervillain for nothing.
Oh, gosh. He's going to start fights. They're like, hey, baby, you should watch The Villains Lounge. Oh, I heard about that. So which one am I? Am I the side or I'm the baby?
Look, this is a helpful tip.
If you have to ask that question, you already know.
Yeah, exactly. Put the side piece in your phone is scam likely.
Oh, gosh.
So enjoy yourself. Have a nice day or evening. Peace.